love that lighthouse.
I don't know, something's wrong with us.
Not clicking.
Go to the altar. Study, Lord, we're so grateful to be able to hear your word. We ask, Lord, that as we study these scriptures, Lord, that our minds will be set toward your word, Lord, that we will be ready to receive this morning when our brother comes forth to minister, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll be with him as he studies, Lord, and Lord, that you'll just feel at liberty to move among us this morning, Lord, and this afternoon. Grant it, Lord, that you'll bless the reading of your word now in your name. So Hebrews 6, and just, you know, just to kind of set the context, this is the scripture that God pointed Brother Branham to when he saw those two men that were in the meeting, that one was genuine and one was fake, but they both had the genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost and moving and speaking in tongues and rejoicing and worshiping in the Spirit and those kind of things. So it says in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the world and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." You know, really, if you want to just meditate on the sense of this scripture, Paul's talking about, there's a lot of people that rejoice and that are partakers of the Holy Ghost. But if you turn away from the word, then it's not going to profit you anything. If you reject the word and crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, which, you know, that when they put Jesus on the cross, they did so because they were rejecting his word, and they didn't just turn away from it, but they struck out at it. And you know that when the rain falls upon the earth, it's going to bring to life whatever is in the earth. And so we were reading that parable, and we'll get to it again, of that Jesus told of the parable of the sower, and the seed was sown into the ground, and that parable, the good it's talking about the word being sown into people. Well, let's just meditate on some of the things that Brother Branham said about this scripture. Both partook of the same nourishment, water and sun. Both prayed. Both received help from God, for he maketh his sun and rain to fall on both good and evil. And though they both had the same wonderful blessing and both had the same wonderful manifestations, there was still that one great difference. They were of different seed. And so there's that parable in Matthew chapter 13 that Jesus began to talk about. He that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. So the good ground here is people, is a church that can receive the word for your day and bear forth fruit, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, maybe just meditate and think now. You know, our goal really is to understand what's the difference between a genuine and a fake believer, so that we can have confidence that we're genuine, that we're true. How do I know that God is tabernacled in my heart? How do I know that he's in there, that he's dwelling there? And you know, if any man was sitting in a house, or anybody, there's an evidence that you leave behind. There's an evidence that, you know, if a deer goes through the woods, it leaves behind a trail that you can follow, broken branches and sounds and the little white tail that you can see running through the bushes and things, and you can see an evidence an evidence that, that God is in you if he's there. There's an evidence that you can look at. So the evidence now we'll examine. Let's just meditate on that as we go through this scripture. And I know this, the parable that Jesus taught, I know it's a little bit hard to read, but I've got a picture up there of Jesus teaching. So if you can't read it, let's just do like they did when they were listening to Jesus and just listen. And Jesus said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." Now see, this is Jesus explaining a parable of how to know if God is in you or not. If there's what he's talking about is the different kind of people that hear the word and react to it differently. And really the sum of it is, when you hear the word, do you hang on to it long enough for God actually to come and quicken it to you? Or do you just let somebody, the devil, come by and snatch it away, or let the trials of life or something take it away from you? When somebody tells you, you know, that all things are possible to them that believe, you hang on to that. When somebody tells you that there's a promise of the new birth, do you hang on to that? Or do you just let somebody come by and take it away? And, well, I don't know that the devil, I don't know if that's for me. If there's a promise for healing, and you hang on to that, and then God will bring it to pass. So in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, there's a lot of things we don't understand right away when we hear it. You hear so many things that seem puzzling and everything, but if you just hang on to it, then God will the Spirit will quicken it and put things together, put it together and make it plain. But he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. First, they start off real good, start off running. Like you see people come to church and they're so excited at first, but after a while they stop coming, and then you don't hear about them anymore. I mean, you just think about all the ones back in your life that you saw hit the ground running at first, and then after a while, where are they? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. And that's what that Jesus said, the forgotten beatitude is, blessed are those that are not offended in me. Because when you start becoming a Christian, there's many things that people say things about you, do things about you. Like I was preaching that Wednesday night about the people that we went kayak, and somebody wrote on the back of my van because they saw that picture of Jesus on the back of our van. There's a lot of things that are offensive. Why'd they do that? But that's not gonna. I want the word. I want the seals to be opened up. I want to understand what this message is about. And when you're rooted, Jesus said, hath he not rooted himself? If you're rooted, you're gonna hang on because you want to see the word manifested. Amen. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Now you can see that just looking around. That's what happens to a lot of people. They get so concerned about money and more concerned about the world and more concerned about being able to watch movies and stuff than they are about the world. And all that care of the world will choke it out. Well, I got to go to my job instead of coming to church. I got to do this or that. I got to do all these side activities. But if you're concerned, the main thing, the most important thing, if the most important thing is the new birth, and that means the most important thing is the word. And if the word is foremost in your life, then you won't do like this scripture is talking about, that you just let everything in the world choke out the word until you just don't care about it anymore. But he that receives seed into the good ground, now that's a believer that will grab a hold of the word and say, I'm going to believe this. Somebody maybe that, like Brother Brown gave the illustration that people have been making fun of you and you kind of got low, God will bring you down into a valley where you start to get desperate and something's got to happen, and you get tired of the situation that you're in. That's some good tilled up ground that's ready to receive the word. You're ready to do whatever it takes, if it's go out into the mud pit or stay there all night, or like that story that Brother Ram told with the brother. I'm willing to stay in the mud all night if that's what it takes, because that's some good ground. You don't have to. All you got to do is believe. But good ground is when you're at a spot where you're ready to believe. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. Now, look at those evidences. You hear the word and you understand, but it doesn't stop there. It bears fruit. So you got to put all those things together. Faith is going to produce, it's going to produce fruit. It's going to produce a changed life. So hear and understand and bear fruit and bringeth forth some in a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Because it depends on what your capacity is, how much word you can receive, what day and hour you're living in. And that's why in this hour, we've got to bear more forth more fruit than the other ages did, because we've got more word. We've got to bear forth the fruit of the doctrine of this, the coming of the Son of Man. So let's think about he that heareth the word. When you're seeking the new birth, you begin to hear all these strange things, and like on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter began to what was sown in their heart? The word was sown in their heart, and then the Spirit came and quickened it. What was sown? Christ was sown. So what was Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost? He was preaching Christ. And he preached, he laid out for them who he was and why he fulfilled the Old Testament, and he laid it out. And he said, and then their hearts were pricked, and they asked him, well, what do we need to do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you. So, you know, that's a word that's sown into your heart, and you hang on to it, and you begin to meditate on that God promised that to me, that God sent that to me, and there's a promise to me. There's a promise, as many as are far off, to your children. And so parents, hang on to that word. And you're hanging on to that as a promise. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, this is a scripture that I hung on to when I was thinking of the new birth, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And I hung on to that because people will tell you, well, it's not for you, and, you know, lay all kinds of reasons in front of you and all kinds of doubts and stuff. But you look to the word instead of your own opinions and your own ideas, and you begin to hang on to that. That's the seed that God that has to be sown into your heart, that you hang on to and don't let the thorns and the cares of life and money problems and all of that stuff get in the way of it. You're hanging on to the word of God. You hang on to Isaiah where it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That means he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the last time we kind of examined what iniquity is, to know what you need to do and you won't do it. So he was bruised for my iniquities. When I knew what to do, and yet I went away from it and didn't do that thing, whatever it was, all those iniquities piled up, he paid the price for that. And see, all these things that are sown in your heart, and you begin to hang on to that until God makes it real. You see why the new birth is not just feeling something, but it's actually something being quickened. The word that you hold in your heart is quickened until it's made real to you. Then you got an evidence that nothing can take away. The devil can't take away. The people at work can't take away. People maybe in your family, I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's real. But you know it's real because there was something sown in your heart that you hung on to until Christ made it manifest. See, the word can always be questioned when it's on the page. But when Christ makes it alive, it can't be questioned anymore. You hang on to it. And you're questioning it maybe, but when Christ makes it alive, it's not questioned anymore. So Galatians 2:20 really lays down what the new birth is, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's somebody there. There's somebody in my heart that's changed my thinking, that's positioned me so that I can hear the word and believe it, which is what Paul's saying here in the next part of this verse. The life which I now live in the flesh, I'm in the flesh, but I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. So that means that it ain't my faith anymore. That Christ's faith is Christ. When you get the new birth, he's in there now. And the evidence of that is that he can believe. He's believing the word. He wants the word. That's why he's, if Christ is in you, he's going to take you somewhere where you can get the word, because there's a hunger in you. I got to get the word. You know, even look back in your life where you thought maybe at first, you know, you really enjoyed the song service and you really enjoyed feeling good in church. But then there came a place where you were like, I got to get the word. I want to know what this message is about. I want to know what this gospel is about. And something begins to work in your life, and the word begins to open up. That's Christ in you, to reveal the word. And what, see what, when the word is being sown in you, it's Christ being sown. Christ, be, the word is Christ. And what's being revealed in you is Christ. So the new evidence of the new birth is a revelation of Christ, a revelation to you personally of Jesus Christ, where you can see Jesus Christ. That's what all of these things behind us on the wall that we refer to so many times are, that this is Jesus Christ. This is the building, the tabernacle of the living God is Jesus Christ, the stature of a perfect man that he's built up. And that's why Paul said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So through justification and sanctification, you're believing. But when he gives you the new birth, Christ comes in and he believes. Now, you don't understand everything at the new birth, but you're positioned then because God is there to believe. God is there on the inside to believe. And when you bring in the word, he'll open it up to you. So Brother Ram would say in Matthew chapter 7, or this is Jesus again in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And we know what the will of the Father is his word. So here's the evidence that you're on the right track, that God is there, is that you're doing the will. Like, and I gave the example earlier that, you know, somebody would say, you know, when they're sick, they were, somebody asked us to pray for them. They were sick, and they said, don't pray for God's will. Pray for, or pray for me. Don't pray for me to get well. Pray for God's will. But now, we just read that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, he died for our healing, and all those, you got all those promises in Psalms, forget not the benefits. So you look in the Bible and you see his will is for you to be healed. So that's what I'm talking about, is that if you know the word and the word is quickened to you, then you know what he wants done with the word. And he, like in this example, his will is for you to be healed. His will is for you to be saved. His will is for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. His will is for you to be a Christian that walks in the fullness of the word, that's not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, that's not blown around, that can walk straight down that line of the word. So Jesus would say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? There's a lot of things you can do in church that influence of the Holy Spirit in church, just being around other believers and listening to the songs that are sung and things. And in thy name have cast out devils, because Judas cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. All of that's great, but what about the word? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you is an evidence that God is in your soul, that God has positioned you to receive his word. Amen. He'll say, then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. I never knew you like in the natural, like Adam eventually knew his wife. Hey, he never knew you. He never quickened his word to you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And see, there's that evidence again. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, if you can hear the word, and then it goes into action. Heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the whole church is built upon the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Brother Ram in the Pergamene Church Age, he said, and there it is. You can't claim that manifestation is the evidence of being spirit-born, spirit-filled. No, sir. That means you can't claim that just because you ran up and down the aisle or went to go to camp meeting and felt something up and down your back or whatever that your spirit feel. I will admit that true manifestation is the evidence of the Holy Spirit doing mighty acts, but it is not the evidence of the individual being spirit-filled, even though that individual has an abundance of those manifestations. Judas, Balaam, Cain, all these examples down through Scripture of people going to church and looked like they were doing right. But the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost today is just the same as it was back in the day of our Lord. It is receiving the word of truth for the day in which you live. Now think about what he's saying there. The evidence that somebody's there in your house. The evidence, like a deer running through the woods. I know the deer was here because I can see branches are broken. I can see the trail that he left. The evidence that a man was in your house, somebody, he left footprints outside. I can see his footprints. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you receive the word for the day that you're living in. So the evidence is you come to church, and when the word starts to be preached, you're like, I want some more of that. That's my foremost thing above everything else. You see, if you're following the word, if you're making decisions in life for the word, you're on the right track. If that is your foremost thing, in front of everything else, in front of all the things in life that you want the word, that shows that there's somebody that's guiding you. Jesus never did stress the importance of the works as he did the word. He knew that if the people got the word, the works would follow. Because if you put the works before the word, then you're putting the cart before the horse. But if you put the word for it first, that's the thing that will produce the works. So down on the inside, and I only got just a few more minutes. See my little diagram here. Down on the inside, your soul can be as black as soot, and I got the little serpent there. But in your spirit, in your body, you can feel things. You can be influenced by the holy, genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost. And if you want to study that out more, go to the sermon "Anointed Ones at the End Time." Go to the God of this evil age, Satan's Eden, and read those things and study that out. But in Luke chapter 13, he said, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." There's many people that come to church and like the example I gave last time, swinging incense won't save you. And confessing to your Catholic priest won't save you. There's a lot of things you go to church listening to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir won't save you. There's a lot of churchy things that we do. But the word is what saves you. Just because you're in church and doing churchy things doesn't save you. The word is what saves you. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer it and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. We were in church and we fellowshipped under the anointing, the genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost. And thou hast taught in our streets. You were in our church. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And iniquity is when you know something you actually know is right and you won't do it. And you know, one of the biggest, really the umbrella example of iniquity is you know that you need to be born again. And if you won't do it, that's the master example of iniquity. If you know that you need to be baptized and won't go be baptized, if you know all of these things that you know you need to do, that there's something wrong. But when God comes in and sets himself in your heart, he'll drive out the iniquity from your soul and you'll begin to be aligned correctly to receive the word. The musicians can go ahead and come forward. Brother M said, what is iniquity? It's something that you know that's right and you concede it and won't do it in your heart. When you know that Bible teaches a certain thing and you won't do it, that's iniquity. That seems a little bit deep and everything. You start talking about iniquity, but see, these things are laying a framework, a foundation, so that one day when you start listening to the seven seals, then everything begins to get put together and you see what Brother Ram's talking about. When in that first seal, he starts talking about iniquity. and when it's got to be driven out and those kind of things. Everything's a building blocks that build up into the final culmination of rapturing faith to get us out of here. And we'll just end right there. God bless you.